Listener supported. WNYC Studios.
Brian Lehrer with you on WNYC, and now a follow-up to something that came up on Friday's show during the newscast with Richard Hake. Here's the original news item.
Wine growers in the Finger Lakes say the upcoming season could be the worst in 10 years due to the effect of freezing temperatures. And Brian's back in the studio with me. And Brian, you know that the Long Island Wine Council says wineries in Nassau and Suffolk counties are not facing the same problems.
Oh, good. So I can still get my Mineola Merlot or my Ronkonkoma Pinot Noir.
Yeah, and your Port Jefferson Cabernet Sauvignon.
Port Washington Port. So that was Friday. And Richard Hake talking about how Finger Lakes vineyards have suffered more than their Long Island counterparts in this long and brutal winter. Here to explain why and maybe to put me in my place about Long Island wines is Tim Martinson, project leader for Cornell University's Department of Horticulture. Tim, thanks very much for joining us today. Hi.
Hi. Thank you for having me.
First, when we say Long Island wines, what are we talking about? Are there vineyards all up and down the island?
Yeah, the vineyards are largely concentrated on the North Fork, where they get water moderating the climate on both sides. And that really helps with their terroir. If you get a little bit further in the island, then you get quite a different climate. So the vineyards have ended up being concentrated there on the North Fork, where there's about 2,000 acres of wine grapes.
In fact, we just posted a Long Island wine map on our site. So, folks, if you want to see that for future tourism purposes or grape consumption purposes, you can go to WNYC.org and click on Brian Lehrer Show. There are about 35 wineries on this map altogether from the Long Island Wine Council, and almost all of them, I think 31, are on that North Fork, meaning from about north of Riverhead on east out toward Orient Point. There are only a handful on the South Fork at the Hamptons. Wouldn't that have a similar kind of growing climate?
Yeah, my theory on that, and it's just a theory of mine, is that since it's exposed more directly to the Atlantic Ocean instead of the Sound, then it actually is a lot cooler, so it doesn't warm up as fast, so that makes it a little bit different in the amount of, say, heat units that accumulate there. And it also makes a difference with the moisture that can cause more disease and so forth. But there are a couple of really wonderful wineries on the South Fork as well. And maybe higher land prices might have something to do with it as well.
Maybe just a little.
Yeah.
So, listeners, we do have a little time for your calls here. If you're familiar with Long Island or any New York State wines, because the original news story, as you heard, did contrast the weather conditions for the upstate New York wines, the Finger Lakes region in particular, with the ones for Long Island, give us a call, 212-433-WNYC. Do you want to shout out a recommendation for a Long Island wine? Might as well spend money on something that comes from New York State rather than California or France or somewhere, you know, if it's good. So is there anything you like? 212-433-9692. Maybe you're a sommelier or just a wine lover. We can take your recommendations. If you happen to own one of those vineyards, feel free to call us up. Or if you know how the industry is faring this cold winter, let us know about the economic impact upstate or down. 212-433-WNYC is our on-the-air phone number, 212-433-9692, or post your comment to WNYC.org, click on Brian Lehrer Show. You can also see that Long Island Vineyards map there. So, Tim, the original news story says that the Finger Lakes area wineries are going to take a harder hit than the Long Island ones, but Long Island has gotten tons of snow, too, and was hit by the polar vortex. So why would it be faring better than the Finger Lakes wineries?
Well, the key factor with the kinds of grapes like Chardonnay and Merlot and Riesling that come from Europe that make our premium wine varieties is that they're sensitive to the cold. And what they're sensitive to is the winter low temperatures. On Long Island, and I just called my colleague out there this morning, their lowest temperature has been 0 degrees Fahrenheit. here in the Finger Lakes, and this happens about once every 10 years. We've gotten down to minus 10 to minus 14 degrees Fahrenheit in some places. And if we just have one night of that, then some of the buds that are on the vine will die. And we measure this, and we figure that the temperature at which about half of the buds die is about minus 10 to minus 12, depending on the variety, and it's gotten down to minus 14 in some places. So in other places in the Finger Lakes, it's like at my house, it's gotten down to minus 5, so not so bad. But a lot of them are right on the edge at minus 8, where they expect that they're going to have some dead buds out of there and a lower crop potential as a result.
So that's about the cutoff, minus 8 degrees Fahrenheit. How does a vineyard prepare for winter weather? I assume you don't spread salt on the grapes, right?
Yeah, one of the things we do, because all of our Riesling and Chardonnay and so forth are grafted, is we can mound up dirt over what we call the graft union, which is where the rootstock is grafted to the vine. It's usually a couple inches off the ground. And that doesn't help you for the above-ground parts, but it helps you rebuild the vine in case there is a cold injury event. Then you can bring up a new trunk the following year and replace that trunk. The other way that they have of but that's really one of the main things that you can do other than choose a good site with a good climate to prepare for winter injury. You get what you get, and our growers are very, very experienced at dealing with bud injury. Normally, you prune off 90% of the buds that are on the vine. So if you have 50% bud injury, instead of leaving 30 buds on each vine, you might leave 60 buds. So there are ways of coping with it.
Let's take a phone call from the island. Tova in West Sayville. You're on WNYC. Hello, Tova.
Hi. Thanks for taking my call. I just wanted to say that as a Cornelian, I have been out to, I've been out to many of the wineries out in the North and South Forks, but I recently was at Bethel Cellars on the North Fork, which is run by Cornelians, last summer for a great tour of the place, and also had an absolutely wonderful Merlot, which we were told was sold at, which was offered at President Obama's inaugural luncheon, and it was a very, very good Merlot. But I've always used both the North and South Forks, and when the weather is good, I'd say that there's wonderful things at on both forks of the island. Duckwalk Vineyards also has a fantastic blueberry port, which they seem to come up with every year. So I'm very happy we have the wineries on Long Island, even though I used to get it from the Finger Lakes when I was up at school.
All right. Tova, thank you very much for chiming in. And our guest is the project leader for Cornell University's Department of Horticulture, Tim Martinson, who is an expert on wine grapes, among other things. 212-433-WNYC, as we talk about the disparate impact of this harsh winter. Not so bad for the Long Island wineries, much worse for the ones upstate. And is it possible to say from a scientific standpoint, Tim, what makes a quality wine? Is there something about the climate on the island as opposed to the Finger Lakes, as opposed to the Napa Valley in California, or those places in France or Argentina or wherever wines are coming from around the world? What makes the ideal climate?
Well, they're really, in my mind, there is no ideal climate. We have cool climate wines, we have warm climate wines, and they're wonderful. In the Finger Lakes, for example, we have just about the perfect climate for Riesling, because Riesling likes a cool ripening temperature and an extended ripening temperature, and that preserves some of the things that bring out the floral bouquet and so forth in the wines, that cool ripening period. If you plant the same grape just south of San Francisco, the acids drop, and you get something that tastes like, sweet mush. And you don't get that in the Finger Lakes. The climate is wonderful for it. What's different about Long Island is that it really doesn't get frost very early in the fall, so they let their grapes hang longer. It's a little bit warmer, but but the sound on each side, that really moderates the temperature so that I think they're warmer at night and a little cooler at day than they are in the Finger Lakes. So we have a wider range of temperature, and that can really affect how the wines develop, because the grapes are just very sensitive to heat and when it comes, and the difference between day and night heat and temperatures.
By the way, we got that one recommendation from Tova, who called in, and on Twitter, we just got a recommendation for Palmer Vineyard Chardonnay and the Lens Winery Blanc de Noir. So we'll compile some of these Long Island winery recommendations alongside our wine map for the island on our site. Go to WNYC.org and click on Brian Lehr Show if you're interested. And Tim in Fairfield County, Connecticut, you're on WNYC. Hi, Tim.
Hi, good morning. A curiosity question, because this came up after a local visit to a vineyard here in Connecticut, was they were marketing the fact that they had a high percentage of their homegrown grapes going into their wines. And so then we learned that, you know, states have percentage minimums in order to call it a local. So I was curious for the island, or if that's the same as New York, if you were to buy a wine out there, what percentage of the grapes are actually you buying? You know,
yeah, that's a great question. Tim, I didn't realize that Long Island wines would not necessarily come all from Long Island grapes. What's the story?
You know, some people from Long Island sell grapes up to wineries in the Finger Lakes, so maybe they have a Merlot down in Long Island, and the winery wants to sell out of their tasting rooms Merlot, or vice versa with Riesling. We just had some grapes that won the Governor's Cup that came from a winery on Long Island, but the grapes were grown here in the Finger Lakes. So basically, there is this system called the Appellation System, and so there are various delineated geographic areas like the North Fork of Long Island. That's one. If it says that on the label, then 85% of the fruit has to come from the North Fork of Long Island. They can blend in up to 15%. If it has a New York appellation, then it could be from anywhere in New York State. If it has an American appellation, then it comes from, might be from California. So there are ways of telling on the label, particularly if the appellation is listed. If you buy a wine at a winery and it says American appellation, then chances are the grapes came from somewhere else.
We should throw in that there are some Hudson Valley wineries, too, so others in our metro area. By the way, we had a caller who wanted to know what the difference between a winery and a vineyard is. We may have been using those terms interchangeably in this conversation. Is it simply that a vineyard is where the grapes are grown and a winery is where it's turned into wine?
That's right. And and some wineries call themselves estate wineries, which means they grow all the grapes that go into their wine.
Mm-hmm.
Other wineries buy grapes from other grape growers. So there can be standalone grape growers, standalone wineries that don't produce grapes but make wine out of them and sell the wine, or people that do both. And that's the most common situation, is for wineries to also have vineyards associated with them.
Now, before you go, I was not the only one giving Long Island wines a hard time recently when I was making those jokes about Mineola Merlot and stuff.
Uh-huh.
When this new story broke on Friday. I'm not sure if you watch House of Cards, but in the current season, there was actually a joke at the expense of local growers. Let's take a listen.
Ben, you mentioned once a winery museum in your district.
We are making some great wines in Long Island these days.
I've tried some. It tastes like compared to what we have in Napa. The sort of that belongs in Paul's waste treatment plant.
Jackie.
We have a possible terror attack, and you're holding out your plates for more pork. You should be ashamed of yourselves.
So for those of you not familiar with FCC bleeping code, yes, that episode of House of Cards included an allegation that Long Island wines taste like a word that begins with P and ends with SS. So, you know, they were thirsting for Netflix blood on the island after that. Why all the bullying?
Oh, I don't know. That sounds like something provocative to put in a TV show. And the reality is that...
But there's a stigma, right? Like, for local growers to get over compared to places from, wines from the most famous winery places.
Well, I guess so, but it's not like they're really competing against each other. California wines are grown, you know, there's 700,000 acres of grapes in California, so they dominate the national market for wines. And what we do here in the East is a little bit more local and hand-sold, and then because of the climate, the cool climate, we produce different wines that are more reminiscent of cool climate areas than, say, a big Cabernet Sauvignon that's grown in the Napa Valley. So a lot of it depends on what your tastes are. If you like big, oaky wines, California makes wonderful ones, but we make better Riesling than they do, and Long Island makes some wonderful wines, and it's a testament to all the growers out there that they do it in a climate that's much more difficult than the Mediterranean climate they have in California.
Okay and okay. Tim Martinson, project leader for Cornell University's Department of Horticulture. Thank you so much. This has been fun.
Okay, thank you for having me.
Brian Lehrer on WNYC. Jonathan Alter up next. Stay with us.